Hello.
And hello.
And hello. And hello. And hello. And hello. And welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
We're your hosts
of Mind Body Stuff. You're like,
I'm just trying to think of something else to say. We don't really need to.
No, we can just go right into our topic today. No, although, I did want to say one thing.
Say it.
We did the thing on aging.
Use your voice.
2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I didn't ask you, like, 35 is kind of a big age, too. I'm going to bring it back because I was reflecting on it. And I was like, that was the age when I started to feel like I wasn't as attractive.
Oh, what are you trying to say? I would like to know, Kaylee, do you feel less attractive now? Do you feel less attractive than you did a year ago?
No, but like, don't you think, or there was some, I don't know, something for me, 35 is like one of those.
No.
I started to associate it more with my kids too. Like I see pictures and I'm like, oh.
Oh, I feel way prettier than I used to.
I think you are though.
I think I am getting prettier, but I also am, well, I am less insecure than I used to be. So I think I'm just kind of like growing into me. I've always said I think I'm going to be my best when I'm an old lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of have the look that looks nicer on an old person than a young person.
Yeah, because of your bone structure.
Yeah, like when I'm a teen, 20s, it's not that attractive.
Yeah,
but when I'm old, like I think as an older woman, I'll be a beautiful older woman.
Well, isn't there a poem like, when I'm a purple,
When
I'm an old woman, I'll be purple?
That's like Piper. I'll be purple.
Isn't there something, a poem like that?
When I'm an old know. Woman.
Anyway, you folks out there might know that poem.
And
then if you do, can you share it with us?
No, I actually feel more beautiful.
Oh, good. Okay.
And yeah. I think having children made me feel beautiful.
Oh, good point.
I really like being a mom.
You are exactly right.
And so, I don't know, everyone's like mom bod and stuff. And yeah, I mean, obviously, some of that stuff bothers me. But there's another part of me that's like, I really like my phase mm-hmm. in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. No, I feel
it's
good.
35 is good then.
35 is great.
Yeah, 35.
I'm actually excited for 40.
40 is pretty good.
40 People say 40s are awesome.
I liked my 40s. Although, my 40s, I don't remember, so I think I'm living them in my 50s. Because, remember, in my 40s, I had a baby late. And that got, you know, having a baby, it just blinds everything for a while.
Right.
And I lost track of time.
Kind of.
And I had kids graduating from high school and had a baby.
And you had cancer.
And then I got cancer. And so literally, I almost feel regret that I didn't get, like I see these women now and they're like, I'm 47. And I'm like, I can't remember 47 at all because I had like a 3-year-old and I had cancer.
Right.
And I think I was just surviving.
Yes, that makes sense.
So I feel like I'm doing my late 40s and my 50s.
I feel like that way about my 20s. I feel like when we were at a show the other night and it was outdoors and it was just so beautiful and there were all these like young women and they were like, just you could tell that they were feeling awesome.
Yeah, just loving
it. You know,
it.
Their little outfits and their hair and they were just like, it's summertime.
Good.
And I just never really felt that way in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I never really had those moments. Maybe also because I got married so early.
Yeah.
I got married at 24.
Yeah,
I never
like
had
looking.
Those youthful days where I was like, who am I going to meet today?
Who's my person and, like, today, maybe?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Not that all of that is about finding someone or whatever, being attractive to other people. But I do think that there's this, like, freedom that I didn't really experience.
Mm-mm. In your 20s. I think you're experiencing it more now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm experiencing more, I'm just more present now.
Sure.
In my 50s.
Yes.
Which I feel like.
Yeah.
Because everything feels to me like I've been developmentally delayed in some way. And I feel like, now I'm like 47 and having the best time. But I'm not in 57. But it is that weird.
Right.
Because now my son is 12, so I'm like coming out of the clouds or whatever.
Right.
You know, coming up from the ground, like, okay.
Okay, I have, this is my life now.
This is my life. Like, what does mommy want to do with her life?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I wish I had more friends, though, that are in the same situation as me. I don't really have that many friends with young children.
Yeah, although you've been making a few.
I have. I've made them.
I appreciate that you've been doing that.
Yeah. Like, in the past, I had more single friends who didn't have husbands or kids, and then that kind of stopped working. And then, but then I feel like...
I had the same thing. I didn't have a lot of friends who had little kids.
When you had little
kids? When I had little kids. Because we worked in the park service, not to make any judgment about the park service, but there were a lot of just real seasonal worker folks that just wanted to have fun and enjoyed their lives. And a lot of them were clear about not reproducing, which is totally fine. And they've been enjoying great lives. But so we were like the people with, everyone's like, oh, wow, you got to go to bed now, I guess. You know, I was like, yeah, we have to go to bed now.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't have any friends my age now that, are doing what I'm doing either. So you're my always friend isolated. Now. You're my friend.
You're my friend now too.
Always isolated.
But it's funny because even before I had Hux, I remember being like, am I still going to be able to come over to your house and stuff? And with Huxley, like, I would still come over to your house and I'd bring her, but no freaking way am I going to come over to your house anymore with my three kids.
Three kids.
I'm like, and you told me that. You're like, yeah, nobody invites you over when you have three kids. I'm like, yeah, nobody invites you over when you have three
nobody
kids.
Nobody invited me over when I had three kids. Nobody. I'm like, hello? Have a great time. Bye-bye.
I guess we do, like, our good friends.
Well, and people who have kids, then it's awesome will. Around yeah, the same yeah, yeah. age. Because then the then kids
it's like more
play.
Kids and everyone plays.
Yeah, and then the parents can visit, you know. Totally. But it's different if you have, like, friends who don't have kids or older kids.
I know. I'm like, okay.
And you're like, well, I guess I'll see you tomorrow then.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, it's funny.
I think everyone goes through that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. So today.
Today.
Today we decided.
We wanted to talk about.
Do you like this buildup? Today.
We decided.
That we're going to talk.
About.
Alternative.
Medicine.
Boom.
Boom. Or alternative. Healing, however you want to phrase that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you had something, you did something interesting this last
weekend. I did do something interesting yesterday.
Which kind of, and I'm a, you know, we were talking about this beforehand. I'm totally like a scientist. Like I love.
She is good.
I love Western medicine. It saved my life, so it's hard for me not to appreciate it.
Right.
But I also understand its shortcomings because I've had a few run-ins with docs where I've had differing opinions and we've had fights about it.
Right.
So I also think, you know, docs are humans and we have a right to question because it's just like you or me going to school a little bit longer for medicine. It's like, no.
Yeah,
I'm
good
the
point.
Expert on
good
my
point.
Body, and I think you think this is going to work, but in 2% of cases, it doesn't, and I think I'm one of them.
Well, 2% is actually kind of a
lot. I didn't realize that's like 2 out of 100.
2 out of 100. That, I mean, that's not that's a big number.
Yeah,
actually,
and I had a doc throw that out once. He's like, "Well, it only works. It doesn't work for 2%." And suddenly, I'm like, "Well, I am the 2%, dude."
Oh yeah, when I had you know things health wise, like even stillbirth, it's less than. I mean, it's not very, the percentage is low, but I'm like, but if you put a room of that many of us, it's kind of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
So really interesting.
So I totally support Western medicine and love it. And Kaylee knows about it because I talk about it all the time.
She loves it. Even when I'm like, I'm not feeling well, she's like, tell me all your symptoms.
I'm like, is it your neck?
I know.
You know? And
I'm like, do you have a fever with the body aches? Or is it the body aches and stomach?
Do you have any upper respiratory symptoms?
I know, but you're usually right on.
I love this. I love
you're good at it. You're a detective when it
I
comes
to
it.
I love it. Yes. I wish I'd done more with it. But I get to have friends and figure stuff out.
Yeah, but you definitely gravitate towards Western medicine.
I definitely gravitate. But I also appreciate alternative forms of medicine.
Right.
And
I gravitate.
Exactly.
Because I guess for me, I feel like everything is connected. So I always feel like, well, there's probably something more to this problem than just the physical. Like, I'm guessing that it's an energetic thing. I mean, not always. Like,
but
if I catch a cold, it's probably because it's, like, boogers from daycare.
Your kid.
You know?
Yes.
Like, I do see that. But I am usually curious about what's underneath that. So this past weekend.
We talk about in our workshops sometimes about that stuff.
You can find our workshops at ulafitness.com
if you're interested.
That's ulafitness.com. Why hasn't anyone paid us to do ads yet?
I know. We're so good at it, too. Come on,
dang,
folks.
Come on.
We're good at it. Anyway, got good voices.
You have a good voice. You've got a great radio voice.
Video voice.
Video voice. You gotta like it.
Yeah, video voice is very, very good. Enjoy.
I cannot stand my voice on this podcast. I always feel like I'm like, I have such an assertive tone.
I don't think so.
Oh, when I listen to the podcast, I'm like, relax, Kaylee.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't like I think most people don't like their voices.
Yeah.
Except for a handful of people that probably trained. And I did do voice
you
training.
You did do voice.
At Santa Monica City College.
Well, you're good at it.
Well, you can get a course. You can train on it.
Okay. I'll go sign up for that right now. But I think I get so excited and passionate. Yeah, and it comes off as kind of like.
I think that's good. It's kind of frenetic or something.
It does come off as frenetic. And I always listen to the podcast in 1.5 speed.
So then
I sound
even
like
worse.
Rushed and aggressive. And I'm like, oh my God, how does anybody listen to this podcast?
I just thought about this the other day. And we'll get back to the topic. But I'm so sorry. I was listening
don't have that much to say. So we're going to just talk about
this. I was listening to like CNN or one of the news stations. And it was, you know, someone running for office on a national level.
Yeah.
And I was like, someone needs to fix her voice. Because I do the same thing. You get kind of excited.
Yeah.
And you get kind of bossy sounding.
That's how I sound. I sound bossy.
And I was like, oh, it almost makes the listener feel defensive.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, don't talk to me like that. Like, right. Of course I know this is a problem.
Right.
But so I thought, oh, she needs to. It's hard for us because when we get excited, we get that adrenaline. Yeah. Then we kind of want to shout. Or instead of shouting, we sound sort of emphatic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you understand this is a very important problem. We got to listen to this very closely. And you're kind of like, why are you shouting in the microphone?
Yeah, I know. I need to chill out.
But anyway, I thought that was, it was a national person.
Like, smoke some reefer before I do this podcast.
Someone help her with her speech.
I'm
talking.
Just kidding.
Anyway.
I don't do that.
No, I have anxiety
I
from
feel
it.
Terribly lonely.
I get panic attacks and you have to take me to the hospital. Everyone's like, you won't. You should do it. And
I was like, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing good to say. I think I want to just die.
That's the suicidal tendency of the reefer.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Reefer madness.
Anyways, I got to find other ways to calm down. I guess that's the point.
Yeah, calming down, deep breathing.
So anyways, we're going to talk about alternative medicine.
Because you had a really cool thing happen.
You guys should have just seen her. Maybe you don't like it when I'm calm like that.
Why was I doing something weird?
Because then I felt like you had to overcompensate for me.
Oh, maybe I did. I was trying to balance
You tried to balance. All right, fine. I'll be myself.
Okay.
So I had this energetic chakra clearing session. So anyways, this woman, she's really cool. Her story is she started as a massage therapist, and then she could feel all of this like stored emotional trauma in these people as she was doing massage. And so why are you making that face?
I'm thinking about what it's like when she does the massage.
I know, you're getting nervous.
I'm all like, oh, and then she's in the massage, and then.
No, but she's not going to do a massage for you in this session.
No, right.
Anyways, so then it kind of led her on this journey to explore more about alternative medicine and
healing. Because she's an empath.
She was.
And some empaths are physical. Like, they pick it up from touch.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So anyways, long story short, she's just studied a lot and she's traveled a lot and she did a lot of studying with the shamans down in Peru. And so I had this
in the Himalaya.
No, that's not wrong Peru. Place. That's Nepal.
Oops.
No.
In the Amazon
jungle. In the jungle.
In the jungle.
Yeah.
The Andes are in Peru as well.
Yeah, but she didn't do it in the Andes. She did it in the Amazon.
Ah, in the jungle.
In the jungle.
I'm all in the Himalaya.
But anyways, it was really cool because...
I just wanted to say Himalaya.
Okay, enough. Enough with the Himalaya.
Anyway, so she was in the jungle.
She was in the jungle and she studied with the shaman. So she brings in a lot of her teachings through all of that. Anyways, so we had this chakra, it's like illumination session, and then she did this like soul retrieval. Anyways, fascinating stuff. But... like it's just so interesting because there are things that she just, I mean, there's no way she would know this about my life, but it's being stored energetically in these different chakras. Mm-hmm. And so then we did all of this like healing work, and it was really cool. And then it's really cool because afterwards then she kind of talks through it too. And then you can intellectually and like with, you can understand it and talk about it. And then I kind of like made a plan of action for a couple areas in my life. And like one of the really cool things, and she picked up on this in my body is like, so she, one of the things she mentioned was just how tired I am and mm-hmm. just how tired and how I'm just feeling like completely depleted. Exhausted. And she was like, I'm sure, many times throughout the day you want to like, huddle up in a ball and rock yourself. I'm like, yeah, I do. I like look forward to my Game of Thrones
watching
in bed.
Game of Thrones in a fetal every day. Position I'm is like, one of my favorite things.
I'm like,
to
I just
do.
Can't wait till I can lay in my bed in fetal position. But so, and I know I've talked on this podcast a lot, how I'm just like, building a new house and building a new studio, I just don't know where all of the energy
and
is going to come from.
Small
with three
children.
Little kids. And she, you know, in my heart chakra, she tapped into immediately. She's like, oh my God, you have so much mom guilt. And we kind of teased out that a lot of my feeling like I'm not able to do it is because I feel like it's going to come from time with my kids, or that my kids are going to feel abandoned or neglected if I take on more and more. Yet there's also a part of me that feels like I want to do all of that. I want to grow. And going back to last week's podcast about manifesting and that fear, I think a lot of my fear, where my fear is coming from, is that I don't want my kids to suffer and I don't understand how to create the balance that I want. But it was just fascinating. She could pick up on all this. And then she was like, okay, so your mantra needs to be like, I flow with grace and ease. So rather than like, I am strong, I am capable, I can do this, whatever, it needs to be like a way for me to navigate the chaos with grace and ease. Mm-hmm. Because I do want all this stuff. When I think about it, I do. I want it all.
Right.
And so... But I need to figure out how to navigate it with ease, with
yes,
grace.
Yes, you don't trust that you can do that.
I don't trust. Yeah. And she's like, you've got to stop playing God. Like yeah. You cannot control all of these situations. So just bringing the ease part in, just like letting myself flow through some of this chaos.
Yes.
And not trying to control the chaos, not getting stuck or overwhelmed by it, but just flowing through it. And then she also was talking about how I need to not put on like mom hat and then take mom hat off. Put on work hat, take work hat off. Put on wife, lover hat, take it off. She's like, it all has to start to flow.
Be integrated.
Like, be integrated so you don't feel like you're neglecting different parts of your life when you're doing something.
And that was too compartmentalized.
And too compartmentalized. And that was really helpful. And she could just feel all of these different things through my energy body.
She doesn't know you.
She doesn't know me. She doesn't know anything about me. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really cool. And it's such a good reminder. I mean, your body stores it. We talk about this all the time. We talk about it in our workshops. Our bodies store our emotions, our trauma, our pain.
Our stories.
And just for an energy worker then to go in there and like read it and feel it and then help me heal and then like breaking old connections and ties and stuff. It was so cool. But anyways, then I asked her if she would come to Missoula because she's in Montana for a couple weeks. I'm like, can you please come to Missoula? I know a bunch of people that would
probably
want to do.
Where does she live normally?
San Diego. anyways, and she said yes. And so now I'm making you do a reading. It's not a reading.
She says reading because something bad happened at a recent reading.
Well, I feel like you have so much fear around...
Well,
it's not bad.
I can just manifest. I mean, I think I'm kind of just manifesting it. It's like, and this is what will happen.
Well, can I also say something?
Yes.
I think that you have access to this world, but it scares you.
Yeah.
Because you often have said what were we doing in Mexico? And you like saw a vision and you're like, nope, I don't want it.
Oh yeah. I don't remember.
But something with like the healing bowls. Didn't you say like some?
Oh, I saw his life.
Oh, you saw his life.
Yeah.
the guy who was performing the ceremony.
I went back and I'm all like, oh. And I saw his life and his ancestors, his mom and dad, and there was some struggle and some unhappiness. And then I was like, I don't want it.
And then you didn't want it.
I'm like, no, I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
No, no, thank you.
So I think for you, there's fear too, because you do know that this stuff is like, it's real and you have access to it. Not everybody can figure out how to access this, but you choose to shut it down.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just scary sometimes when you don't, you know. So for me, I'm like, let's have science.
Yeah, let's have the facts.
I want the facts, you know.
Right.
And if something intrudes, then I'm kind of like, oh, you know, that's not factual. So you can't intrude right now.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
And then sometimes I think those people will see that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you don't want this.
Yeah, and then they'll be like, you know, or whatever. I'll manifest something, you know, like something closed about it or something. Who knows?
Yeah,
or sure. Someone else will come that I don't really want to come into the...
Yeah, well, even this morning, you guys, she was talking about these owls came and were talking to her outside her window, like, early this morning.
It was so weird.
Tell the story.
At like early this morning, I looked at my clock later, but it was 5:20 when I looked at my clock, but it was probably around 5 a.m. and I'm sleeping and we had a concert here in Missoula, Mumford and Sons concert. Yeah. And all I hear in my dream, like, whoa, and I'm like, God, their concert is so loud. Like, knock it off. Not all of us want to hear that. Okay. Like, we're trying to sleep. And then it's super loud. Like, it's like, whoa, 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 and I'm like, ugh. And then I wake up and I hear, whoo, 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 whoo. And I'm like, an owl. Oh, look how the things look. I'm looking at that, whoo, 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 whoo.
Oh, they look different.
They make round things. Anyway, so I'm like, an owl. And it's right outside my window, my deck.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have to go talk to it.
Did you hear that? I have to go talk to it, is what she says.
So I get out of bed and I open the screen and I stand on the porch and I go, whoo, 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 whoo. And then it answers. And then a little while later, another higher pitched owl flies in and it goes, oh, 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 oh. And I'm like, oh, you got a bad voice there, buddy. And it was so funny. Like, I was talking, we were talking. And then I was like, I'm not an owl. I got to go back to bed. This is weird. I started to go back to sleep and I'm like, oh, I think I was an owl. I think I was a bird.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, am I cold? Because I felt myself in the tree as I'm falling asleep and I'm like, am I cold? And then I thought, no, dumbass, because you're an owl. Like, you don't have to worry about being cold. Like, it was that weird, like, transitional thing happening. Like, should I be worried about being cold up high like this?
Oh my God.
But it was so one of those weird,
But your family believes that you
have spirit animals.
Yeah, but don't you guys? Well, because you have a strong relationship with birds.
Birds, Almakua.
Almakua.
Almakua. Your spirit animals
is a bird.
Mine is a bird. I think ours was like the hawk. You know, the Hawaiians were kind of. I don't know if it was specific or, but I can't remember. But I definitely feel like it's the bird. The birds. I love talking to birds, and you know, we have a relationship, me and the birds.
Well, they do follow you. I feel like I've been with you many times when birds just follow you. And then you talk to them. You do that call and they all come to you.
Oh, they love that call.
They love that call.
It's really interesting. Or they get upset or they want to fight about it sometimes. I'm like, nah, nah, nah. It's just a human making a fake call. We don't have to fight. But I do, I mean, it's so funny because I have that juxtaposition of appreciating alternative forms of medicine.
Well, and even maybe.
Of healing.
And maybe just of, like, how we are, like, the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so, sometimes with science and Western medicine, it just doesn't take into account any of that.
It doesn't encompass the whole being.
The whole being. Sometimes. It just stays in the physical.
Right.
But I think maybe what more we're talking about in this podcast is actually, like, including the spirit into the conversation.
Yes. Right.
Right?
Yeah. I think including the spirit and the soul.
Yeah. What's the difference?
I don't know. Sometimes I think spirit, souls, I have no idea, but I feel souls are kind of around and spirits, I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But soul seems so grounded in the human in a way. A spirit seems like it could just come and go.
Oh, interesting.
Like maybe not grounded in our own humanness. They're maybe broader than that.
Yeah.
But the soul seems very like, and now the soul is inhabiting this space.
Oh,
and now the soul is inhabiting, the spirit seems very like, all around sometimes. Oh, I get
that. Okay, that makes sense.
So the soul feels like it kind of comes and goes, or, you know, or a soul might be trying to talk to you from another place. They are trying to ask for help.
Right.
It's like...
Yeah, and sorry, what were you saying, though? Were you...
Oh, that's my phone.
Yeah, I know.
It's my soul talking to me.
I hope it's good.
I'm very busy. Thank you very much.
But, I mean, there is, like... I don't know. I feel different today.
You feel different and you seem different. And it's given you kind of an understanding of parts of your life maybe that you were needing some more definition around.
Yeah, right?
And the funny thing is we've been talking about this stuff.
It's all been activated. And that's something about spirit, too. It's like, why has all this been activated? Why have we been talking about it? Why have we incorporated some of this work that I'm trying to do into our workshops? Like, it's all coming up right now. Yes. And then for her to then, like, talk about so many of these things and do the healing work around them, it was really... I mean, it's amazing.
And it's funny because you had that reading yesterday. I didn't talk to you.
No.
And then yesterday
I ignored your text.
And I'm like, she's not responding to me.
Sorry.
I'm just of earthly. I am not of any benefit.
I know.
Ethereality. But so she had done the thing. And then I went to the bookstore to get a book for my kid because he has to read something for seventh grade. And I just stopped at a table and got these two books.
Yeah.
And I started to review our notes for our upcoming workshop. And I started having all these feelings about you from the... It must have been activated from the reading.
Yeah.
But it was weird because they all kind of related to parts of the reading.
Yeah, it's so... Which is very... The passage she read me and stuff. Like, it's really crazy. Yeah,
super weird.
It's so... Yeah. Well, and I just... Here's the thing. I think ultimately we can choose how we want to be in this world. If you want to just deny all of this and be like, there are no past lives, there's no way that, you know, any of this is anything, like it's all woo-woo shit. Like, you can go through your life that way and I'm sure it's perfectly fine. But for me, I kind of get depressed when I think that it's just...
That's it. This is your one turn.
This is it. This is our human experience and none of this spiritual world... nothing. And looking at all these cultures from around the world who have all had spirit as a major, major foundation of who they are as a people, you know, just to say like, okay, so, you know, the Native Americans had the, you know, all the animals had different significance and, you know, the plants and everything. And then the South Americans and then everywhere, the Hawaiians and the Asian, everywhere, every native, I mean, indigenous
people,
or even just first peoples
from
any continent.
Right. Yes.
So then are what? Because we understand more and more and more about science, we're just going to neglect all of the wisdom that we had originally?
Right.
Like, it just doesn't seem right to me.
And science is so, like, I mean, maybe just as humans, we can't understand it, you know, but it could be, you know, energy is so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it feels like maybe energy is happening through time, like we've talked about with Einstein, that there's folds in time.
Right.
We don't understand how time works.
We don't.
So we could be living multiple lives at this. Like, I remember I did some sort of vision quest with someone. Oh, I used to get seizures.
Oh.
And right before my seizure, my aura was I would be another woman.
Oh.
But I'd be in a place I recognized.
Interesting.
But it wasn't me. It's a different woman living at the same time.
Oh, whoa.
And then I knew to get on the floor.
Because it was
coming. I was going to have a seizure. But that could be, one could say the brain is just misfiring, which it can do and fire off different stuff. Or it could be maybe energy is just weird stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we're humans. I'm sure we're bright. But I don't think we get how this whole thing works.
Well, I think that's why humans are hungry to define everything.
Yes.
They want to tell you exactly what God looks like.
Yes,
they need
to
put a face to it.
We're so cute because we want definition.
We're so cute. We want it packaged up in easy to understand.
Yes.
But the thing is, and I think that's the beauty about spirit and energy, is it's beyond our understanding.
Yes, and maybe that's the purpose of it, is always just opening your mind.
Right.
Because someone's going to be the person that goes like, whoa, wait.
Yeah.
This is it. Or, you know, here's a piece of the story.
Right.
Write it down. Right. You know, and then someone else is like, what did you see? What happened?
Right.
How did that work?
Right.
And you're like, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I did live a past life 300 years ago.
Yeah.
But somehow it's stored in some sort of other dimension. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Right.
But it certainly feels odd when you have certain things come up in your life, and you all understand that, where you're like, I don't know if this is part of my life. Mm-hmm. But it feels like a part of a life. It's very significant to me, but it shouldn't be
mm-hmm.
in this life mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my food stuff.
Yeah, your food stuff. It's like you have always had what you need.
I've never starved.
You've never starved.
And yet I have a deep, intense fear of starving.
Yes. And for me, so one other in the soul retrieval, and you know, like take it for what it is. But in the soul retrieval, she said that in a past life, like, she saw I was in like this big like tornado. There was like all this like chaos around me, and so and then she saw me like dive over my children and to protect them, and then something that was like flying through the air hit me and crushed me. And so she didn't tell me that at this moment, but after she had gone through all my different chakras and like, you know, illuminated them and figured out what was going on and tried to clear them out. At the end, she asked the spirits, she was like, is the work done? And the answer was no. And so she tried to figure out where it was. And she put her hands on my shoulders and she said, the babies are safe. And I just like started weeping because it just triggered something in me when she said that. And then after it was done, she told me about what she saw. And I think that that ties so into so many of the anxieties that I have in this lifetime about my kids. And are my kids safe? Are my kids protected? Like, I never want them to feel like I'm abandoning them. Like I've left them. Like, even when we travel, like for work, you know, I'm very specific about what time I want the kids picked up from daycare. I want to know like when everything is happening, because I never want my kids to feel like I've abandoned them. And it's like, well, where did this come from? Our kids are very happy. They have healthy attachments. They are loved. They love school. It's like there's no reason I should have the level of anxiety that I have about some of these things.
Right.
So if we understand generational trauma, you know, I think that there can also be something to like maybe lifetimes
right.
of trauma.
Or it even could be, let's say, generational. So let's say maybe it was your, I mean, I don't know. So here's another take on that. Maybe it was your great-great-grandmother. I don't know.
Sure. Maybe that's what she saw.
And that's sort of stored in the genes in some weird way. And you're like, I must protect the children.
Well, and it's interesting because she said, because she was like, holy cow, about all this mom guilt. She said, this is generational.
Oh.
Is what she said.
Oh, that's interesting.
She said, this is generational.
Oh, yeah.
Because she would look at some of the like the things that keep it from being clear, those chakras, all these binds.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was
trying to
cut the ties. And so she'd be like, oh, this one is DNA. This one is whatever. And so with the mom guilt, it's interesting you say that, because that's what she said. She said, this one's generational.
Oh, yeah. Passed down from generation to
generation. So it's like, so why am I suffering so much in this lifetime from something that
in
my life?
Yes.
My kids are safe. They're loved. They're protected.
Yes.
You know, so when she just put her hands on my shoulders and said, the babies are safe, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, why did that hit me so strongly? And
right.
it's because it's deep, 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 deep in there.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Whether it's my past lives or the generations of the women before me. But it was really, I mean, so there's something to that.
Yes. And why not do the work?
Why not
do the work? Keep an open mind.
But I don't think Western medicine could help me there. They could maybe prescribe me anti-anxiety meds.
Yeah. But maybe we wouldn't want to do that because it would shut down that communication.
Right.
You know, it would be different if you're so anxious that you
that I couldn't function or whatever.
Yes. Then of course. But
I just wish, I don't know. I wish there was more integration.
Yes. Right.
But do you feel like Western medicine is going more in the direction of including, like, talking about mental health and, you know, like,
I think some of the better medical schools are definitely trying to integrate that more, because they're seeing mm-hmm. the human as more of a holistic
whole,
thing. than mm-hmm. just, it's not just your physical ailments.
Right.
It's, you know, your history, your traumas.
Right.
Your story, mm-hmm. the story of your ancestors.
Right.
You know, the story of what you want for your future. Yeah. You know, and if you're, and I've seen great clinicians and they totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, well, why can't you cross the bridge? I had anxiety about being on a bridge, you know, mm. and a lot of them are just like, we'll just take medicine.
Yeah.
And other ones were like, well, but what's that about?
Let's explore that.
Is it scary to travel or to go over water? Or is there, mm-hmm. you know, it was mm-hmm. awesome to work with people that are, I think great clinicians, no matter who you are, whether you're Western, Eastern, or in between,
mm-hmm.
Or more, you have to stay curious.
Yeah.
You
I love
have
that.
To stay open because yeah. you're like, you'll have a feeling, and then if you close on that feeling, you may miss
yeah.
three other things it could be.
I just feel like the way that our medical system is set up, obviously it's so screwed up right now, but I don't even think the doctors have enough time.
They don't have enough time.
They don't have
the
time.
No.
It's like how many patients are booked in one day? It's like in and out. They don't, it's just not, it's not designed to even explore any
it's
of that
It's not
stuff.
Designed to be healers.
No, they're not.
It's almost like
to be healers.
they're mechanics.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Come on in. Oh.
I'll fix it.
That seems off. Up. Take some notes. Off you go.
Yep. Here's
Who's
your prescription.
Next person? Come on in.
Yeah.
You know, because it's all dictated by these insurance companies, too.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, how many people you see.
Yes.
You know, what are your you have to come up with a diagnosis. You know,
right.
you can't just say, I'm not sure. I don't, you know, yeah. it's like, they're like, you can't get paid for, I'm not sure.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. But they're like, yeah. no, what is the diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is, I mean, I'm hoping that we're going to change that in the next 10 years or so in terms of how we work with. And it's funny because I just took Ray in for his well child check, his 12-year-old well child check. And we waited and waited and waited and
yeah,
waited.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's, yeah.
that turns out to be a new doc.
Okay.
She's new. And the front desk was like, well, she's spending a lot of time with each client.
Oh, uh-huh.
Which she did. She spent a ton of time with Ray, like uh-huh. talking to him, like,
right.
now you're going to be 13 soon. Like,
yeah.
it went on and on. You know, Ray's like, what's happening?
Yeah, right.
When do I get my shot?
Oh.
You know, but
uh-huh.
but it's because she's new,
she's
curious.
Not like, yeah,
she's
yeah.
engaged, and
right.
she wants to know who her clients are,
yeah.
who her patients are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so sad where it's like, she just gets 15 minutes usually.
Right.
But she's taking about 45.
Right.
But, hey.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need.
Well, it is what we need.
Like, because, you know, can you imagine doing mental health counseling? You've got 15.
No.
You wouldn't hear, sometimes the best stories I don't hear, or the ones that have the deepest meaning for the client, I don't hear till the very end.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it takes them forever. You know, they're kind of like,
there,
it's kinda
yeah.
like, and then I had a tricycle. You know, and it was red, and I'm like, mm-hmm, yes. I lived in Ohio. Mm-hmm, good, yes. But finally, at the end, suddenly it comes free-flowing
yeah,
out because they
yeah,
just
yeah.
feel more trust and more
yeah.
comfortable. And,
yeah.
you know, so I can't imagine being a dog. I mean, like, okay, so tell me, what is it? You have swollen legs?
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I got, like, one more minute. What else? Huh? Shortness of breath? Okay. Shortness of breath, swollen legs.
Check all your
symptoms. Yeah, you're like, oh, shortness of breath, swollen legs. But it's just, yeah. you know, instead of being like, are you walking a lot? Something happened recently in your life where you
mm-hmm.
stopped moving?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's like the book that we reference, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom.
Oh, that's a great book.
You know, where it's like she was suffering from all of these, like, bleeding and all of this.
Pelvic pain.
And it wasn't until, you know, one of the author's coworkers then decided to ask more about her history and
right.
realized that there was a lot of trauma.
Right. And then she said, if I had just been curious
mm-hmm.
about her first visit,
mm-hmm.
she would have then started to ask then.
Uh-huh.
But because she wasn't trained in that, she
right.
was more like, and I'll do, you know, do whatever,
yes.
my inspection here, my
yeah.
exam.
Yeah, yeah.
She on hindsight, she realized
mm-hmm.
all this was already laid out for her.
Right.
All she had to do was ask.
Was
the
just
person,
ask.
Like,
yeah.
oh, is this uncomfortable for you?
Right.
What about it's uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But no, you know, that
yeah.
was so interesting.
It's really interesting. And I think it's just such a good reminder that the body holds it. The body holds the story. The body holds the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of, going back to ULA though, that is one of the important things that we can do through ULA is allow the story to move through. If it's stuck in there, hopefully the movement allows it to come out, to come through using the voice, to scream if you need to scream whatever lyric, whatever you need to release, mm-hmm. or to activate, or to...
or even with just the movement itself. Suddenly yeah. you're like, poof,
yeah.
you open your
it's just
heart.
The opening.
And
yeah.
then suddenly you feel all this emotion come up
for
that you
sure.
didn't even realize was there.
For sure.
Because we just don't do enough movement
we
in
don't
our
do
lives.
Enough, we don't do enough movement. We don't do enough intentional movement. And mm-hmm. we don't do enough movement for, like, I don't want to say pleasure, but so often as adults, people move out of obligation.
I'll ride my bike.
Or out of shame.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten so much food this weekend. I better go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, I got to be faster than I was last week. It's
yeah.
all this like, it's not for exploration or enjoyment or to deepen the connection that you have with yourself. It's to like accomplish something.
Yes.
And I think when we, through different movement forms, whatever that may be, if it's ULA, great. If it's something else, great. But open up that dialogue between the mind and the body, then we can start also to begin to heal ourselves because we're listening to the body.
Yes, because we're so cerebral.
We're so
you know,
cerebral.
The older we get, the more and more we just shut down the
well,
body
and,
a little
and,
bit.
And our society has prioritized
it
that.
It has, totally.
It's prioritized education and...
Sitting in your chair.
Sitting in your
like
chair.
Like right away, you'll see with Huxley, they go to kindergarten and right away they got to sit in their chair for a while.
Aww.
You know, it's not a normal thing that kids want to do. But suddenly you start doing it like, I sit in my chair.
Oh,
this is how I do when I work. I sit in my chair, you know? And then we're not just like, let's just move around. Because sometimes
yeah.
just in the act of movement,
yes.
things are freed up. Or suddenly your body has the ability to talk to you for a second.
Right.
Oh, I think I feel sad. And you're like, what?
Right.
We don't feel sad. We're doing our work today.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like maybe you put your head down
yeah.
for a second and close your eyes. And you're like, I feel some... introverted sadness maybe
right.
or something. And it's like, oh, tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. It's like, get your head up,
get back to work. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about that right now.
We're just so focused on
doing, task, check.
And I see myself get sucked into that. And that's one of the things I'm just trying really hard to get away from right now.
I do that
life.
Even with like vacations. Like we all have to go to the lake on Friday at 4 p.m.
I know.
And then everyone's like, why?
Right.
Why is that? And I'm like, because it's planned. It's planned. Everything's planned. You got to do this. And then, but everyone else is like, you know, no.
Yeah. Oh, and she laughed. She said, oh, you do not like it when you have an expectation and it's not met. And she kind of laughed. Mm. And I was like, well, isn't everyone kind of like that? But Rob isn't really that way.
He just kind of
flows more.
Yeah.
And that's,
oh, yeah.
like, I get so mad that I have to say this, but man, he just kind of has more of this stuff figured out than I do.
Yeah, I wonder if their spirits are more
enlightened.
I think
they're more evolved.
They're more evolved, maybe.
I totally think they are.
Because Mike's kind of like, what you so antsy about?
I know, that's what Rob's
like, this is
okay.
a beautiful evening, it's raining outside, and I'm like, well, what's the plan?
I know.
He's like, plan?
I know. Oh, we're obnoxious.
Interesting. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Flow with what?
Grace and ease. That's my new thing, you guys. Anyone wants to try it? Flow
grace
with grace and
ease.
Can you just flow? Can you just go with the flow? Do you have to control it? And I'm asking these questions because these are the questions I'm asking myself. But do you have to control the situation?
Mm.
Do you have to get everything done? Like,
do
what's
you
the
need
worst
to have certain
thing?
Outcomes too?
Oh yeah,
to
yeah,
make
yeah. Are
it
you
like,
attached to the outcome?
Mm-hmm.
Are you attached
like, good.
To the outcome?
It has to have this outcome.
Have you defined what good even looks like? Mm. Have you defined already if the night needs to have this and this and this to be good?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, is your night ruined?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
my night is ruined.
Yeah.
But I'm not flowing with grace and ease.
No, you're trying to play God.
Trying to control everything. You
yeah.
know what? There are many other humans in the room.
Right.
Not just this human.
And you know what? We're more enjoyable humans if we're not trying to control the
That's
situation.
That's true, because then people don't really want to be around
no,
us.
It's
I'm
not
like,
very enjoyable.
Where'd they all go?
Why am I lonely
Why?
All the time?
Where'd they go? You guys want to have some wine now? Now it's 5 p.m. Time for our wine. And they all like scatter.
Oh my my God.
Ah, the lessons we have to learn.
We do.
That's why it's important, though, for
that's
us.
Why we have to do the work, man. This is,
yes.
That's why we have to do the work.
She's talking when she felt something. That's our printer.
Our printer just woke up You're from okay. her deep sleep. but yeah, it's good stuff. So I would suggest if anyone is curious to find a way to like tap into some of the energy work.
Alternative energy.
Oh, and she did another tapping thing. She said, I need to go when I'm feeling like I'm getting stuck out of my head. Anyone can try this. All you have to do is you take your four fingers. Don't burp while you're doing the podcast. Oh my God, you're so gross.
I had gas in my upper right quadrant and it was painful.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Okay. So you take your four fingers and you just go up to your head and you tap your head and then you come down the sides of your head, down your shoulder, and come back to your heart.
Oh.
And then do it a few times. So what you're doing is you're bringing all of this, all the energy back in, back down. So you're integrating right back into the heart. And
that's good.
Doesn't it kind of feel good?
Oh, yeah.
To do that?
More centered.
It's got to come back to the heart. And that's what I want. You know, I don't want to be a lonely lady who gets all of her shit done.
Yeah, good point.
Like, I mean, really? Is that the point of all of this?
I don't think so.
Is that the point?
That's the point.
To get all my stuff done
That's
every
my
day?
My mom is 94. Everything's done.
Is that the point? Because, like, if it's the point, then I don't really know how motivated I feel.
Yeah.
By it.
That's
Except nice. That sweet sense of getting it all done. You know, I got to let that go. Because, like, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. I don't want my kids to look at me in 40 years and be like, wow, our house was always so clean.
Very tidy.
But I don't really remember her playing with us very
much. She
seemed
kind of grumpy when it got messy.
Yeah, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I got to fight that. I have to fight it. But
we
I
have
also.
To flow with grace
but that's
and
what
ease.
She said. She said, you have to honor that part of you because it makes you successful and you know, you get stuff done. But, but you know, it's like.
Don't let her be in charge all the time.
That person's not in charge.
Not all the time.
And when I feel chaotic, that's who comes out, and I know that I'm entering and am in a state of chaos, and it's not going to end anytime soon, and I don't want to be like that. So grace and ease.
There we go. With grace,
watch me, you guys.
Ease.
I'm gonna be so relaxed now.
Floating off.
Maybe we'll be in the Twin Cities on Thursday. Maybe not.
You'll just have to see.
We'll be on ayahuasca.
That's all I need. You see that thing over in the corner?
She's microdosing right now. She's connecting with spirit. Leave her alone, please.
I'm busy, okay? I love you guys.
You guys have a good week.
Bye.